I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for coming along with me tonight for WMUK's Let's Hear It, where we come hear the music play. The Farmers Alley Theater continues its season this Friday with the opening night of Cabaret, the classic Candor and Ebb musical set in decadent Berlin in the years leading up to the rise of the Nazi Party. One of the region's most experienced and celebrated directors, Kathy Moulet, is at the helm. In the cast are actors Barbara Marino and Dirk Lombard, both of whom are seasoned East Coast actors with literally hundreds of roles in their repertoire. The musical Cabaret debuted in 1966. Over the years, it's been revived many times. I asked director Kathy Moulet about her take on Cabaret.
I went back to the original in 1966. I'm a real fan of Hal Prince, the director who designed this particular production, actually in reaction to the riots that were happening in the 60s, and the racial riots. And Cabaret was the first concept musical. And what that term actually means is that the events that are happening at the time are really more important than the journey of the characters. And because it was 1960s and audiences were used to having a musical with a basic story that we could identify with, the show is kind of in segments in the fact that we are watching the real life events, and then we go into the cabaret, which is kind of a comment on what was happening to those real lives. And it's a very, very unique and brilliant production. Joe Masteroff wrote the book, and it really is a brilliant concept. When they decided to revive it, and there have been several revivals, there was one in 86 in London, and then it was in 87 in New York, and then 93 in London again with Sam Mendes and his famous production, which then came to Broadway in 1998 with Ellen Cumming. That is a rawer decadence than was in 1966, because Hal Prince knew audiences weren't quite ready for that. And as we've gone on in through our century, audiences expect that. So I made the choice to marry the two. So I'm not going quite into the decadence and the sexual decay that was being exhibited and is currently being exhibited on Broadway. But I'm not quite as fluffy as the 1996 either.
So Hal Prince is someone you look up to, admire. He wasn't afraid of challenging audiences in his own way in 1966, even by putting such a... the story is not pat. As you said, mm-hmm. The characters don't have each perfect resolutions.
No resolution, actually. It's the influence of the environment around them that is kind of making it happen. And it's the reason I say it's so brilliantly written is each character kind of represents a person or a segment of society in Berlin during that period from 1931 to 1933 that actually kind of paved the way for the flight of Hitler into power. And so Herr Schultz is a Jewish fruit vendor who does, as a German, doesn't believe that anybody could do something to him, German people, he's a German, because of his religion. And Fräulein Schneider, who owns the boarding house and is a small business owner, basically, who's always provided for herself on her own, is aware of the events that are happening, but feels powerless to do anything about it. The MC is a representative of the decay and the moral decay and sexual decay at the time. Cliff is an American who is observing. And basically, in the book, it originally says, "I am a camera, I am watching." And that's kind of what the audience is too. And then Sally Bowles is just this young person who could care less about anything but herself. And so each one of them represents part of that society. And it was, so when you delve into it, it becomes very, very interesting.
This is all being staged at the Farmers Alley Theater, and opening night is coming up very
Friday.
Soon.
Yes. Friday night. June 6th.
And the show will run through?
Through the month of June. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Full details are online at farmersalleytheater.com. And again, my guests are Kathy Moulet, director, Dirk Lombard, and Barbara Marino, both who are taking major roles in this production. Of course, we haven't touched on the music quite yet, but everyone knows the score, these incredible jazz age style pieces, and big show-stopping tunes as well.
Absolutely. And the movie, when the movie came out, Kander and Ebb, who are the composers, wrote some additional music. And so when the revivals happened, they took on some of those songs from the movie as well. Two of the most well-known songs are Maybe This Time. And what's the other one Sally sings?
That was Mine Hair.
Mine Hair. Yeah, which, of course, Liza Minnelli did in the film. And of course, that's what most people are familiar with. But those are two songs that I'm glad that they did add back in the 98 version.
Well, before we get a chance to talk to the cast, let's take a short break and revisit the music from Cabaret with the opening number.
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome, fremda. Étranger, stranger, glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté, happy to see you, bleib, rest, stay.
All right. Getting off to a great start. That's the show Cabaret, and we are in the studio here with cast and director of Cabaret at Farmers Alley Theater. Kathy Moulet is directing, and Dirk Lombard is here. He plays Herr Schultz. Barbara Marino here as well. Fraulein Schneider is her role. And Kathy, one last thing to check in with you about regarding this production, which is in an intimate setting in the round. The last thing I saw you doing was an enormous undertaking, Les Mis at the Civic, which had a huge cast, a full orchestra. You must have had to really tinker with your plans to come down to such a different show.
Well, each show you direct is different, and of course, being the intimate space that Farmers Alley is, taking on a show this big is challenging. There are 14 people in the show. So that's a large cast for our 120-seat house. And I decided that the most effective way to produce this would be in the round, which means that the audience surrounds us, which is something we've not done at Farmers Alley until this show. So when our patrons come in, they're going to see a very different setting than they've seen before. But I think it's working really, really well. And our choreographer, Melissa Sparks, has had a tremendous challenge to stage these big dance numbers. And we've made them even bigger, I think, than they were originally designed to be.
Well, here we are sitting with Dirk Lombard and Barbara Marino. And I think I'd like to have you come closer to the microphones and say hello to listeners on WMUK.
Hey.
Hello.
Barbara, you have a long history with our region, our community, and theater in Kalamazoo and beyond. I'm so glad that you're coming back and renewing ties here. But both of you are full-time professional actors on the East Coast, and that's an exciting life. You're credits, I mean, they go on for hundreds and hundreds of listings and pages. I can't even sum it up, so you're going to have to help me. Have you played other roles in Cabaret in your career?
I have. That was the show that launched my professional career. I was in radio news after I graduated from Western Michigan, and I was doing theater all the time in the community theaters in Kalamazoo and Battle Creek, and I was cast as Sally Bowles in Cabaret at the Battle Creek Civic Theater. And I believe it was our technical director who built the set who also worked at the Barn Theater in Augusta. And, of course, he knew Jack Ragazzi, and I think we were like an early spring show. And he called Jack as he was coming into town to start his season at the Barn, and he said, "You need to come and see this girl." And so he did. He came and offered me an equity contract at his theater, and that's what started, plucked me out of radio and put me on the stage. So
so the show goes means a lot to you.
It means a lot to me. It really does. I was talking to Dirk the other day, and I said, it's just so interesting to me because when I was obviously young when I was playing Sally Bowles, and I was so much who that character was. It was about, you know, I wanted, even though I was working in radio, I wanted to be on the stage more than anything. I wanted to perform. I wanted to be everything that Sally wanted to be, and was naive and innocent, and, you know, and now, you know, 40 years later, now I'm playing Fräulein Schneider, and I just feel like this role suits me so well. Because she's had trials and tribulations and has lived a full life, but a, you know, not an easy life. And so I can relate very well to her as well.
Dirk, do you have a similar Midwestern sort of story, or did you go to college and study theater?
I grew up in Seattle, Washington, and I went to Central Washington State College in Ellensburg. I was going to be a music teacher. And I was in a summer stock, got cast in a summer stock theater in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and met with a group of really close friends. We became very, very close friends, and some of them were going off to New York and had graduated, and I was ready to go to transfer, actually, to the University of Washington. I came back, and doing a summer of theater where we got to play these four wonderful shows. You basically come away with no money, of course. My parents kind of told me that I had to work while I went to college, having made no money for the summer. And all my classes I usually took were theater classes and rehearsed at night after our classes. So I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to perform then. I mean, this is pointless. I've got to perform. So I decided to leave college and go to New York with my friends who had all graduated. And I went to New York at 20. And I realized when I got to New York that I was young talent-wise because I was with a lot of actors who had been in university and conservatories. And I realized I had to catch up. So I really started studying in New York City and still trying, working, cleaning apartments and as a waiter, and I jumped into classes in New York and started performing and just kind of kept going with that. But I did, and one of my first jobs was a tour of, Barbara and I found out later that we were both touring at the same time in 1977-78. Yes, we're that old. We were touring in two bus and truck tours. Mine was My Fair Lady, hers was Robert Bridegroom, and we were running around, you know, playing the same theaters, and one of the stops was Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Miller Auditorium.
Yeah.
Which, of course, was wonderful for me. I was welcomed back and did some master classes. It was wonderful.
That's the thing about the theater life is it's full of great highs, and then the discipline required. A lot of people tend to gloss over, you know, the amount of determination and discipline it takes. And we all want to hear about people who just made it big, drove into town and got cast in their big role. But
it's a roller coaster ride. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure people, you know, will go, oh, well, are you on TV? Or are you doing movies and everything? It's like I always wanted to be a working actor. And and I have been truly blessed. I have made my living as a working actor with very few survival jobs.
And that's rare.
And that's rare.
That's,
you know, people don't realize that not everyone becomes a star.
Right. I mean, those are the...
A journeyman actor is a noble profession, but it is a roller coaster ride, definitely. There are highs and lows, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, with your experience, when you're part of a cast these days, you also take on sort of mentoring type of duties, or knowing how the process goes and how it can go well and how it can go badly. What do you do to ensure that each show is going to run as best as it can?
Well, I mean, some of my fondest memories when I was young was working with, you know, people I had on pedestals and admired so much. And I tried to learn as much as I could from them. You know, I at the barn, you know, Angelo Mango and Lou Gerard, they were my heroes. I saw them when I was a kid, and getting to work with them and learn from them and watch them. The people I've worked with in my career have definitely been mentors and teachers for me. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that the people we're working with, you know.
And then hopefully the age that Barbara and I are at, hopefully we're giving that back, because those are some of our strongest memories, and our learning process was working with professional actors and watching and them giving us their stories and watching that it's possible. And it is absolutely one of my biggest joys in my life now, because I do get to do that. Last year was University of Connecticut. I was doing a show, and again, I had all these musical theater kids still in college. Here we have lots of kids from Western, and Lyric Theater in Oklahoma City was the same way. And I love that group, and particularly this group that we have.
This group is
incredibly hardworking.
Oh my God. Yes. They're just gold.
They are gold.
I want to take them all home with me. They're just wonderful young people, and so talented. And they're like little sponges, and so willing to do anything. And they are doing so much. They are moving the scenery. They are dancing. They are changing costumes. They are changing wigs. I don't know how they do it. I get exhausted just watching them.
I'd like to comment that Colin Woodside, who's playing the part of Cliff in the show, said to me one night, watching Barbara and Dirk is like taking a master class. They are stunning, and our young people in the show are learning so much from not only watching them, but being able to perform with them.
This is something I've seen somewhat firsthand as a flute player in the pit at the Civic from time to time, and they're really is. I mean, I've been in bands. I know what it's like to be in orchestras and stuff, but there's nothing quite like a theater company. Maybe that's why my favorite murder mysteries are all set in the backstages in theater, because it is a little town with a...
It's a family.
Yeah.
It really does. It becomes a family. If you're lucky. I definitely have been in very dysfunctional families before, but this one is far from that. We're lucky.
Usually you do get that. You realize that, at least I realized that in high school. I got, started with music in choirs, and there's certain kids that gravitate to something like that, whereas there are other kids that gravitate to a particular sport or a particular subject. You know, mine was theater, and there was some of us, and it's important. I can start talking about education also. That start cutting the arts, and it's like, you can't do that. As a group of people that it talks to, and then we share it with all of the audience, hopefully.
Well, I want to remind folks that Cabaret starts this Friday, June 6th, and will run through June 29th. Tickets are available at FarmersAlleyTheater.com. That's a theater spelt with an R-E at the end, FarmersAlleyTheater.com. And here in the studio are Kathy Moulet directing the show, Dirk Lombard and Barbara Marino both starring in Cabaret with wonderful 20s-style music and a somewhat Okay, I will admit, when I first came across Cabaret, I was around 8 years old. My father was cast as the MC.
Oh,
and I went to some, I went to a lot of rehearsals and absorbed the music. I understood none of what was going on. And I'm not sure that even as a college student age, I would fully get the nuances of, you grow up really wanting happy endings and you don't get one here. How do you explain to the people interpreting the show that it's okay for this slice of life to sit as it is and not feel like you're somehow cheated of a big kiss and a happy and getting married at the end or something like that?
Well, I feel any theater that enlightens and makes you think about the world that you're living in now is the most important theater. My father was like that. My father was someone who he wanted to go to the theater only to be entertained, and he only wanted happy endings. I will always remember I was doing A Streetcar Named Desire at Western Michigan University when I was like a senior or something, and he came to see it, and he left during intermission and went over to Miller Auditorium to watch Ed McMahon, who was like, you know, because he just went, it's just too sad. So, I mean, I could appreciate the fact that he wanted happy endings, but I think we live in a world where people are far more, that they want to see, reality television, you know, is so big. I mean, I think they want to see what's real, what is out there, and to be educated and enlightened. And not to say that this show is very entertaining, incredibly entertaining, but you will also leave feeling like you've been given something too. You won't leave and forget the story, which happens, I think, a lot in some of the fluff musicals.
Sure.
You will be given a bit of education of again, mid-30s in Germany, because it is about Hitler coming into power and what that country was seeing and going through and how these people, how it happened. And this is a slice of life. Christopher Isherwood, who wrote Farewell to Berlin and Berlin Stories, and then became I Am a Camera, the play, and then a movie with Julie Harris, and about the American, he was English, actually, and coming to Berlin and just watching, and watching it all starting. And, you know, he talks about reading Mein Kampf and about what was beginning to happen in Germany, and that's what this is about. And this is incredibly a powerful piece of history, powerful in a sad way, but important. And this is what this does, at the same time as being incredibly clever, incredibly brilliant music and choreography, and in a slant that's very entertaining.
So part of the show is set at the cabaret. We get dance numbers, and we have the MC with his very acerbic commentary on people's hypocrisy a lot of the time. But outside the cabaret, outside the theater, it's your two stories going on, as well as Sally Bowles and the young man again.
Cliff.
They've got their issues. But this is, I think, a genius part of the structure, is having the story of Fraulein Schneider and Herr Schultz with a sort of something tender happening between them, illustrating how society, the changing of society, can rip just two people, two simple people apart. I'd like to hear you go into a little more detail on what's happening between your characters.
Yeah.
I play the Jewish character, Herr Schultz, and our character is probably, you know, 60s, right? Probably mid-60s, early 60s, yeah. You know. And
Our age.
There you go. And they're lonely. They're by themselves, but they're working people and struggling, and they've been through World War I. He's a widower for years, but they find each other, are attracted to each other, and then they start talking about getting married. And we realize what's going on with the country and the difficulty. Me being Jewish, I'm not Jewish personally, but the character being Jewish, Barbara and I were talking about this, and she said something very important that helped me a lot, is the fact that the Jews, they've been through so much, and I think Herr Scholz is this optimistic, a bit in denial, but his people have been through so much, he believes that it's going to pass. It's passed. You know, it's government. There'll be the next election, and this idiot will be, pushed out. And what could happen? You know, I'm German. I'm German also. What can they do to me? They're Germans. And he is naive and stays there and probably ends up going to the concentration camps. But he tries to convince her that it's going to be okay. We can get married and this thing will pass. Our people have been through it before.
There's an incident of violence that shakes your confidence.
Yeah.
Fraulein Schneider.
Definitely. And she's one of those people that survival is all, and stoic enough to give up happiness and to be safe, you know. It's like fear that rules your life, which I think a lot of people are ruled by that. It's like it's easier just to crawl into your little hole and have everything safe and how you're used to it, rather than risking happiness possibly, or death, or
great loss.
That's the tragedy of her character, truly, is that she's just not courageous enough to make that choice. And it's
that's not supposed to happen in musicals.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You're supposed to risk everything and let us believe the illusion.
Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe we can find these characters in a happier time by revisiting the score here, the soundtrack that you brought along, Kathy. Would you tell me the title of one of your numbers, and we can possibly, It Couldn't Please Me
More? It Couldn't Please Me More.
Mm-hmm. What's happening in this scene?
He has his own fruit market in the Nollendorf Platz, and he always his flirtation is bringing her fresh fruit. That's
from
what
from
his shop.
Herr Schulz, can I believe what I see? Oh, but this is too much to accept. It's so rare, so costly, so luxurious. If you brought me diamonds, if you brought me pearls, if you brought me roses like some other gents might bring. A pineapple for you,
from you. Down for a few moments. My head is spinning.
Fräulein Schneider. Good evening.
Good evening, Herr Schulz. I am overwhelmed.
If you've just joined us, we were listening to a highlight from the show Cabaret, which begins its run at Farmers Alley Theater June 6th, this Friday, and runs through June 29th. Tickets and more information are online at farmersalleytheater.com. And my guests here are director Kathy Moulet and actors Dirk Lombard and Barbara Marino, having a great time here on WMUK, chatting about not just the show, but bigger issues. One issue might be that folks have seen the movie but haven't seen the play. And what they might not know is there were substantial storylines changed for the movie. Barbara, you were just saying your character is
virtually a walk-on in the film. Yeah, a very small character. They kind of went back to Isherwood's novel and incorporated a younger second couple into the film. But Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schulz's storyline was not part of the film.
Well, they had two romances going on at the same time,
yes,
in the stage,
mm-hmm, right,
version. Mm-hmm. So, Kathy, you...
Yes, Cliff and Sally, of course, get together. Both very dysfunctional people, actually. Cliff, who's trying to find his own sexuality. In 1966, he was heterosexual. In the film, he was bisexual. In the 98 revival, he was definitely gay. That in itself has been a progression. And Sally has a problem committing to anyone. And so their relationship is extremely interesting and very complex, whereas Herr Schultz and Fräulein Schneider is the couple. They're the heart of the show. And I knew when I was casting this that I had to have brilliant people in that role because they truly are the heart. And these two performing together, my husband and daughter came to watch tech rehearsal on Sunday. Both of them were just sobbing because they were so moved by these two and their performances and their story.
So
it's very touching.
It's important to say they're,
yes,
not in the movie.
This is only
mm-hmm, in the stage,
yeah,
the original stage version.
The movie was very brilliant in its own way with Bob Fosse and his choreography. But the stage version really is more of a whole. I think it tells the story better.
Let's look at some of the other cast members that are featured. For example, Adam Carter is the MC.
Adam was born to play the MC. In fact, he had hosted a gala that we were having at Farmer's Alley a few years ago, and he sang the Vilkeman number to open the show. And I said to the four founders of the show, I said, we need to do cabaret one day so Adam can play that part. And he told me himself it was on his bucket list. So this is a dream come true for him as well. And he is awesome in the role.
Incredible. Just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elizabeth Swearingen.
Elizabeth was...
She plays Sally Bowles.
Yeah, she plays Sally Bowles. And she was in our production of Collected Stories. I had hundreds of applicants for that role. And I went to New York and auditioned about 40 young women, and she just rose to the top. Interestingly, after I cast her, I found out she was from my hometown in Pueblo, Colorado. And after she came here, I realized that her father and I had gone to high school together. It's a very small world. Talk about 6 degrees of separation. She's just an amazing little actress and so wonderful to work with that we invited her back to play Sally. And she took this very complex character and has really, really flushed her out to be outstanding.
It's a hard character to understand and play, I would think, because Sally Bowles is not very self-reflective and really doesn't like thinking of the future. And to a hardworking actor, that's hard to identify with, I think.
But I think there's a... she's 2021. We've all been there. So we all recognize that. We think we're fearless. We think we're never going to die. Or if you die tomorrow, who cares? Who cares? And you become, you're kind of in that selfish world a little bit. You're young. And so the thing that's really interesting about it, I think we see ourselves in a piece of ourself in that character, which again I think is really interesting and brave of this piece to have. And Barbara, you played the role.
Well, I just keep watching Elizabeth and go, wow, I don't think I did that. She's so much better. She's so much more complex. I mean, I can't take my eyes off of her when she's on stage. She's just so interesting and rich, and she just has brought so much to this character. I adore her, obviously.
One of the finest actresses.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she lives two blocks from me in New York, so we'll be seeing each other.
There is a song she sings called Maybe This Time. We mm-hmm. have time to listen to that and then have some final thoughts on Cabaret.
Thank you. Maybe this time I'll be lucky. Maybe this time you'll stay. Maybe this time happens sometime. Maybe this time. Maybe this time I'll wait.
Maybe this time, from a cast album of Cabaret, and the live cast for Farmer's Alley Theater production is here at WMUK. Still, Kathy Mulay, Dirk Lombard, and Barbara Marino. And all I have to say is that information and tickets are available at farmersalleytheater.com. And we have the big show-stopping number Cabaret coming up. But just a few minutes left here to say final goodbyes and any last thoughts on this production of Cabaret at Farmer's Alley Theater. Kathy?
Well, we don't want anyone to miss it, and the tickets are going extremely fast.
It's been a while since we had Cabaret around here.
Yes, and it was one of those when we announced the season, everybody went, oh, yeah. So that's what the ticket response has been. So I'm going to advise our listeners to contact the theater either via phone, that number is 343-2727, or go online and get those tickets reserved, because we want everybody to get in there and see it. It's probably one of the productions that I'm most proud of producing in such a small space.
Dirk.
The audience is going to have the time of their life, and really going to feel like they're, since it is so small and intimate, they're going to have an experience that they've never had before. Being in the round, and they're going to be part of, you know, in that cabaret room, experiencing everything. And the lighting is amazing. The band sounds terrific.
Cindy Hunter is music director, and she always does a fantastic job.
Oh, she's terrific. Yeah. So Go get your ticket, and you're going to have a fantastic, fantastic time.
Right.
Barbara?
Let's see if I can remember the lyrics. Come taste the wine. Come join the band.
Come
blow your horn. Start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. Yeah, definitely. Come to our cabaret.
Well, thank you for coming to WMUK.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book, and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine. Come hear the band. Come blow a horn. Start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. No use permitting some prophet of doom. Go wipe every smile away. Life is a cabaret, oh chum. Come to the a girlfriend known as Elsie, with whom I shared four sordid rooms in Chelsea. She wasn't what you'd call a blushing flower. As a matter of fact, she rented by the hour. The day she died, the neighbors came to snicker. Well, that's what comes from too much pills and liquor. But when I saw her laid out like a queen, she was the happiest corpse I'd ever seen. I think of Elsie to this very day. I remember how she turned to me and say, what good is sitting